I have to take this opportunity to thank Brother Todd. I've already thanked Pastor Chris before he left last night. But I want to thank you, Brother Todd, for allowing me to come and entrusting this preaching time to me with the Lord's help. And appreciate the excellent hospitality. We really have been spoiled since we've been here. We got here Sunday evening and had a wonderful prophet's chamber stocked full of goodies. And just really feel like the red carpet was rolled out for us. We appreciate the accommodations. Just all the details, all the communication that led up to it. Appreciate the meals, the camp meals. And those ladies really, really ministered to us with food this week. And as we heard last night, that's not an easy thing, all those meals. But I'm appreciative. And I hope you're grateful for what the Lord has used these ladies to accomplish by way of food. The speaker cabin, very comfortable. The time away with my wife and my daughters. The encouraging words from you campers as the Lord has used the messages in your heart. Many of you came up and encouraged me by saying you got something out of the message. Now, I give all the glory to God, but it certainly encourages my heart. And so in a real way, we came to minister to you, but we feel as though you've ministered to us. And we just want to say thank you. Now, you campers, you've really paid good attention to the preaching. And I don't take that for granted because I know that you've been worn out. And I just want to say thank you for paying attention to the Word of God as it's preached. I also want to thank the Lord for laying messages on my heart and the hearts of those who spoke at other times during the camp, split sessions, of course, the juniors, Brother Tom. Thank the Lord for giving messages. And I ask that you would pray for safety. We'll pull out of here as soon as we can and hopefully arrive in Chicago sometime around 1 a.m. tomorrow. And then we'll get a little bit of sleep, then hit the ground running with men's prayer, soul winning, and then really want to have a wonderful 4th of July weekend at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago. So pray for us. That the Lord would give us safety and that we would all have safety as we travel back to our destinations. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled Precious Ointment. Precious Ointment. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Go to Mark chapter 14 in your Bible. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now, if you stop there, we're reading parallel passages of the same account. The first account highlighted this ointment on his feet, and this one highlights it being poured on his head. Same account. Verse number 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Stop there. If you remember the first parallel account, it started with Judas. Here we see it spread to others. Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured, they, not just Judas, started with him. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verse number 8, young people. All the Lord asks of you is that you do what you can do through his power. She hath done what she could. Now go to Matthew chapter 26. We'll read the third parallel passage to this same account. And as you're turning, let me emphasize the importance of harmonizing all of the Gospels when they give the same account, taking the different Gospel writers and seeing the differences and coming away with a complete picture of what happened. That's what we're doing. We're harmonizing these three Gospels of the same account. And so Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse number 6. Matthew 26, 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. I take my title from verse number 7 in this passage, where the Bible says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very, and here's the title of the sermon, precious ointment. Precious ointment. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would show us some things from your word today about precious ointment. Lord, this is the final message. We'll close out the camp. We want to do it with your blessing. Father, we want to have something that would, if it be possible, tie together the decisions that have been made, bind them into one singular thought, and that we would leave today encouraged to continue on and how you've dealt with our hearts. So Lord, I pray that you would take this account use it in a wonderful, powerful, and convicting way. And we ask that you would do this work in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper. Martha is serving a meal. A woman, we know this by harmonizing the accounts, a woman named Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, comes with an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Jesus was sitting at the meal. They reclined in that day as they would eat their food. And the woman poured this precious ointment not only on his head, but also on his feet, and wiped the excess ointment with her hair. The complaining started with Judas, and it spread. The disciples became angry. Why this waste? This ointment could have been sold for a ton of money, given to the poor. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good work. She's done it for my burial. You'll have the poor when I'm gone. You'll always have them, but I'm leaving. Every person under this tabernacle has something that is very valuable to you. Every person in this tabernacle has precious ointment. You have your health, at least enough health to allow you to come to this camp. Your health is precious ointment. You have your mind, precious ointment. Your life, your purity is precious ointment. Your time is precious ointment. Your youth is a very powerful thing. Your youth is precious ointment. You're all uniquely talented in some way, better than some other people, all for the glory of God. And you're beginning to learn as you compete and as you serve in your church, you're beginning to see those talents emerge, and that's a very exciting time in life. Those talents are precious ointment. And I believe I speak for every adult that is concerned for you in a spiritual way. We are very concerned about what you do with your precious ointment. That's why this camp was established. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher in London, realized that he had some precious ointment to give to the Lord. He was saved on January 6, 1850, and he wrote the following prayer of consecration. O great and unsearchable God, who knowest my heart and triest all my ways, with a humble dependence upon the support of thy Holy Spirit, I yield myself to thee as thy own reasonable sacrifice. I return thee thine own. I would be forever, unreservedly, perpetually thine. Whilst I am on earth, I would serve thee. And may I enjoy thee and praise thee forever. Amen. Young person, when you leave this camp, you will leave a very special atmosphere of truth that has surrounded you. And you will go back to the familiar environment. Some of those environments are less than desirable. But you will go back. And wherever you go, there will be Judases who will want your precious ointment for their own selfish purposes. And you've got to determine to guard your precious ointment, whether we talk about your purity or your mind or your heart or your life or your health, you've got to guard your precious ointment from the Judases of this world. I want to give you some observations from these three separate versions of the same account that I believe will be a help to you as we leave camp. Number one, the woman served the Lord without being asked. She served the Lord without being asked. In Matthew 26, if you turn there, verse number 7, Matthew 26, verse number 7, the Bible says, There came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Nobody asked her to do this. Nobody volunteered her. Nobody signed her up. You're leaving camp. Trouble will find you if you don't get busy doing something for God. You should not have to be begged to give your precious ointment to the Lord. As you return back to your ministries, your pastor should not have to corner you to get you involved in the work of God. There should be a heart like Mary that says, I want to serve the Lord with my precious ointment. The command to stay pure should not just be a command. You should view it as your precious ointment that you will one day present before the Lord and your future spouse. There are ministries in your church that could be helped and improved this Sunday if you would give your precious ointment to the Lord. I'm not telling you to go and waltz into class on Sunday and tell the Sunday school teacher, hey, step aside. I'm teaching the class. No, this is something that should be done under your pastor's direction. But you can carry something for the teacher without being asked. You can empty the trash can when the class is done. Find something you can do without being asked. I'm calling on you young people to go back to your church and in a good way, under the authority and direction of your pastor, start something for the Lord. Nobody had to tell this woman to start something. You start something. Why? Because you've got precious ointment. And the Lord is worthy. I'm talking about the spirit of initiative. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 27, just a chapter over from Matthew 26. Matthew 27, Christ has been crucified. Here's a man that served the Lord. Watch me now, without being asked. Matthew 27, verse number 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named who? Ooh, wake up. I'm in verse 57. A rich man of Arimathea named who? Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Look up here for a second. Who asked Joseph to do that? He said, I'm going to start something. Verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. He didn't have to be asked. Mary didn't have to be asked. And you shouldn't have to be asked. Number two, the woman served the Lord with her best. She served the Lord with her best. And I thought about you young people before I even came here. And I thought, what is their best? What is their best? Well, outside of salvation, my opinion, you may disagree, but my opinion is outside of salvation, probably the best thing you have is your youth. My mother used to quote to me Ecclesiastes 12:1, where the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. I like that hymn, hear ye the master's call, give me thy best, not the scraps, but your best. When I proposed to my wife, I wanted to impress her. I wanted it to be something unique. I wanted it to be something impressive. I didn't want it to come across as stingy. And so I set up for an SUV limousine to pick her up from the dorm, the girls' dorm. And all the girls were like, woo! And she thought it was for her birthday because it was around the time of her birthday. She had no clue that she was about to get asked to be married. And so the SUV limousine pulls up and we have a chaperone already in the limousine. You know, she just sat there and read a book all the way from Chesterton, Indiana to Chicago. And we rode in this SUV limousine to this beautiful fountain in Chicago called the Buckingham Fountain. And as we are standing there at this beautiful fountain, I point up to a flag on top of a building. And while she's trying to see the flag, I get down on one knee. And when she turned around, I asked her to marry me. And then we left that fountain and went to a steakhouse, had a delicious meal. And then after that, we went to Cold Stone Creamery for ice cream. I did not sit down and figure what's the minimum amount I can spend to pull this off. No, no, no. But people treat Jesus that way. They do. The Bible says it was very precious ointment. Commitment to the Lord is a costly affair. Now, it doesn't cost to be saved, but to be a disciple is a costly thing. She did not give Jesus something that was broke, out of style, worn out, or unwanted. Judas said it was worth more than 300 pence. Now follow me, that was easily a year's wage for a common worker in that day. The spikenard was probably imported from India and carefully sealed in that alabaster box. She did well to take counsel with her own loving heart and then to pour the precious oil on that dear head that was soon to be crowned with thorns. She showed that at least one heart in the world thought that there was nothing too good for her Lord and that the best should be given to him. We need more people that'll do that until Jesus comes. She made a great sacrifice. In the Old Testament, how was consecration shown? Through sacrifice. No sacrifice, no consecration. Yet people today in our churches, good churches, want to be there and look good and serve without sacrifice. You can't do that and be right. Now, when ladies put perfume on, I've watched, you know, my wife, I remember watching my mom put on perfume. It's usually, you know, a small dab here and there. But the Bible says she poured it on Jesus. She poured it. It was a pound. In that day, that was something between 12 and 16 of our ounces. That's a lot of perfume. And so much was put on his feet that she had to wipe the excess with her hair. She did not just give her best, but she gave it generously. I'm encouraging you young people, in a world where people give less than the best and spend the best on themselves, I'm encouraging you to give your best for Jesus Christ. Now go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I noticed something else that was a blessing in my heart. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box. She brake the box and poured it on his head. Now, why did she break the box? I believe it was so that she could be generous with it and pour out the contents quickly. So the vessel that was used to hold the perfume could never be used again. Why? It was broken. It was a total commitment. It was the burning of the bridges behind. It was an all out, no looking back, going all the way for the Lord. And it's time for some of you young people to break the box and say, I'm giving you my life, God. And if you want me in full time ministry, I'll do it. And if you don't, I'll do it. But I'm willing to give up some of my other interests in life. That conflict with full consecration. Those things may not be wrong. They may not be sinful in and of themselves. But if it blocks you from breaking the box, put it to the side. General Booth said this about the Salvation Army. Now, to you, now, and in my lifetime, the Salvation Army has just been, you know, a guy with a cigar in his mouth driving a truck picking up somebody's old clothes. But the Salvation Army was started in England to be exactly that, the Salvation Army. And a man by the name of General Booth, they called him, gathered some Christians together and said, let's hit the streets of London and win souls. And many, many people came to Christ. He said this, I will tell you the secret. This is General Booth. I will tell you the secret. God has had all that there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, even greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart, by the way, great men of the past always had a burden for the downtrodden in life. That's from a bus kid. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart, and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with me and them. On that day, I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life, William Booth. A young man was eager to grow in his Christian life. And he got a piece of paper out and he made a list of all of the things that he wanted to accomplish for God. He wrote the places he would go, the ministries he would enter. He was excited. And he took that list to the church and he literally came forward during the invitation and put that list on the altar. That was his way of saying, God, I'm consecrated. He thought he would feel joy, but instead he felt empty. So he took the list back and went home and added more things to the list, hoping that it would give him peace. He wrote down more things that he would and wouldn't do. He took the longer list to the altar, but he still felt nothing. Then he went to a wise old pastor and told him the situation, said, I need some help. The pastor said, no, you've gone about this the wrong way. Take a blank piece of paper, sign your name at the bottom, and then take that to the altar. God, you put what you want on the list, and I'll do it. He did that, and peace came instantly to his heart. I'm asking you, are you willing to break the box? What are you willing to commit to with finality? Third, I want you to see that the woman had opposition. She had opposition. Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. What does that word indignation mean? Anybody? Anger. They were mad. They had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Judas was the leader of this criticism. But notice that in verse 8, it spread to the rest of the disciples. Backsliders don't backslide alone. They take people with them. And I want you to know that if you listen to this message, and if you determine, yes, I have some precious ointment, I want to give it to the Lord, I'm going to leave camp today excited, and we want you to leave excited. We want you to leave going guns. But we also want to be honest enough with you to tell you that you will have opposition. Some of that opposition will come from other disciples, sadly. But there was opposition. Disciples didn't like it. No matter how good your deed, somebody's going to criticize it. And you've got to determine in your heart that you're not going to let those that are critical stop you from using your precious ointment. The word indignation there means to be very angry. It's used in connection with the snorting of horses when they're angry. Don't think that if you give your precious ointment that everyone's going to applaud you. Don't think that because you give your precious ointment that everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, attaboy. Sometimes the closest people to you will be the greatest source of aggravation when you try to give your precious ointment. Now, we've noticed that word waste. That's what they said, Judas and the disciples. Why this waste? The word waste, the same word is also translated perdition in reference to Judas, the son of perdition. You know what that means? Who's the real waste? It was Judas. And when Christ is lifted up, people will attack you. Now, who did the disciples attack? They attacked Mary. What had she done? What had she done? She had pure motives. Theirs were not pure. You will be attacked by people who sound good, but they have impure motives. Jonathan, the friend of David, the son of Saul, was called a faithful bow. But we know he was hit by the archers. Some of you will be faithful in serving the Lord. You're going to be hit by the archers. There'll be some arrows in your back. Some of those arrows will be by those that were closest to you. When you pour out your precious ointment, expect somebody to try to stop you. Number four, and last, the woman had a defender. She had a defender. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? In each account, what did we find? When the critics started, Jesus showed up to defend. And you have a defender. I am thankful that there was at least one time in my life when I had a defender. I mentioned to you several times, I grew up in the city of Chicago, did a lot of fighting before I really learned to fight back. And I hate using this term, bullying, but there was a bully and he bullied me, and he was a whole lot taller than me and a whole lot bigger than me. I was just a little kid. I was probably maybe 6 or 7, but he took money from me. He took food from me. His name was Levette. I'll never forget that name. Levette. And this went on day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day. Levette didn't know it, but my brother Ryan, 7 years older than me, was studying Kung Fu. He got pretty good at it. Purple sash and Kung Fu. And I told Ryan about Levette. And at the time, because of the way our family was broken up, my brother didn't live with me. He lived way on the other side of the city. Take about an hour and a half to get to where I was. City, on the public transportation. I told him about Levette. He put on his full Kung Fu gi. He put on the full thing, headband and all. Got on public transportation. And got to my school just as it was letting out. And he stood outside of my school like this. And Levette came out, and I came out. When I looked up and saw my brother, big old smile came on my face. And he walked up to that kid, and he put his finger right near his chest and said, you mess with my little brother again, I'm going to slam you. I never had another problem with that guy again. Say why? I had a defender. You're going to have people that are going to come at you, discourage you, but you need to rest assured that you have a defender, and his name is Jesus Christ. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, the Bible says in Zechariah 9:15. What did he do? He rebuked the disciples. And then he told them about their own hypocrisy. You've got the poor. Go spend your money. Go spend your money later on the poor. But serve me now, a lost opportunity. Boy, what a sermon. The real waste is if you use that precious ointment for something else other than Jesus Christ. Now, let me say that again. They accuse the woman of waste. You all have precious ointment. The real waste is if you use that waste on someone else other than Jesus Christ. It is so valuable. It is so sweet smelling. And only one is worthy of your precious ointment, Jesus Christ. And all he's looking for is somebody that'll break the box. Let's bow our heads. Young person, will you break the box? Will you break the box? Will you give the Lord of glory your pound of precious ointment? It's the last message. If God has dealt with your heart, I want you to come forward and make a decision about what you're going to do with your precious ointment. I want you to determine in your heart that you're not going to let the Judases of this world determine what you do with your precious ointment. I want you to determine that you'll save it and reserve it for the only one that's worthy of that precious ointment. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for your word. Bless this last invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. If God spoke to your heart, you come.